Yeah, oil drilling in my area was initially an apprehensive adventure because of a new industry in a place which hitherto did not know much about it. But the last 7-8 years of prospecting, been a lot of engagement, both by the investor, by government, and the civil society, including the media, which has really brought a lot of information. And I can say it has progressively reduced from a gray area to some areas of clarity.
People in your area are primarily involved in fishing and farming. How will the advent of the oil industry impact their lives and their economy?
I don't believe in a replacement. I don't believe in completely changing everybody to the oil industry. I believe in coexistence. So by design, we are promoting what we are looking for is a comprehensive land use planning, integrated, whereby those who have a livelihood in the fishery lake, those who have a livelihood on land can continue, but while ceding some sizable land for the new industry and the challenges that come with it. But of course, with the gradual integration of some of our young people with minimum skills, with some level of education, to graduate from the peasantry to some bit of employment and some bit of commerce agriculture to service the industry, because the industry will also require the agriculture, will require the fisheries. But of course, aware that a lot of challenges will come, when such a native indigenous community gets largely commercialized, there will be trade-offs for sure. I would want to invest more in preparing these people to be able to participate, to be able to cope, to be able to coexist, and to be able to get a livelihood. If their children can get skills, they could earn a livelihood in the new industry.
As you well know, that the oil industry has a large impact on the environment. First of all, do you know what environmental protection clauses are in the production sharing agreements?
First of all, not just talking about oil, we are talking of the Alberta and Graben. The Lake Albert area is quite a very rich ecological biodiversity area in terms of flora and fauna, and globally recognized. So we want to thank the National Environment Management Program, which has already done an environmental sensitivity mapping. And therefore, whatever investment is going to be done, it must be in line, it must conform, and it must be mindful of that sensitivity. And to us, that's a bit proactive, and we are now looking forward for the actual implementation stage when they are mindful of that. But now, beyond the production sharing agreement, we are now looking at the new laws. We have in Parliament two bills, one upstream and one midstream, including resource management and environment. Whereas there is no substantive law on environment, but in the two bills, there is enough provisions to take care of the environmental issues. The polluter pays principle is well taken care of, but we are pushing for a proactive way of making sure that we deal with the problem. We are trying to be as proactive as possible. The National Environment Management Program is currently capacity building for oil and gas. We have a challenge with the local governments, who will be the implementers. Would want them to build the capacities. Those are the areas. But what is important is to discuss what is in the bill which Parliament has received and we intend to turn into law, because that provides the institutions, that provides the regulations, that provides the legal framework which will be guiding. Because we cannot depend on the good names of the oil companies. We want an institutional framework, a legal framework, and the government regulatory framework, which compels them to perform according to some standards.
There are reports of land grabbing in your area. Is there any way this oil prospecting and later on drilling has affected land tenure or land issues in your area?
Naturally, yes. At the moment, the remote peripheral Rift Valley area, in most cases inaccessible with peasants, got this news of having oil viability. The speculation became a business. We've been battling with some individuals who have primitive accumulation tendencies, who thought that they would deprive the same franchise and alienate the indigenous people from their livelihood. In some areas, yes, they have already succeeded in acquiring the land legally with titles. In my constituency, no, because we stopped the madness. But until the community now gets back their land titles, until we register the community interest, those are the challenges we are dealing with. But speculation is definitely a business of the day. What is important is how government, how the districts, how us, the local leaders, can help our people to stop them from being fleeced by the appetite of the land grabbers.